Lord, we come to you this morning and we are grateful for that wonder and the exhibit of praise that was given by the shepherds and just the way that they went about doing exactly what they were told and then reporting on it. Help us, Lord, to do the same. Encourage our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. There we go. We've been looking at how in the story of Luke there are people that we can observe and be encouraged by. Encouraged in a certain way that we can look at them and say that they are heroes of faith. We looked at the surrender of Mary, at the announcement by the angel to her. After a few questions, she says, "Behold, the bond slave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." That's the normal believing response for God fears. It wasn't without questions or initial fear, but when heard, God's word and will was responded to. And we took a look at last week the joy of Elizabeth. When she saw Mary coming to her, even though she was 6 months pregnant with her own child, the one who would foretell the Messiah, John the Baptist, she says, "And how is it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord." Elizabeth responded with joy when faced with God's mighty work. And as a result, she immediately takes a back seat to Mary because Mary is carrying their Lord. You contrast that to those believing responses, to that of Herod's, who in a fit of jealous rage upon hearing of the Messiah's birth, did what? Praise God? Surrendered? Great joy? No, instead, in a fit of jealous rage, he called for the execution of all male children to and under in the hopes of eliminating the threat to his power and position. So this morning we want to look at the response of the shepherds to the angelic announcement of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. Bob said praise, an obedient praise. They turned their belief in God's word into action and went to the manger scene to behold the infant Jesus and praise God as a result. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, verse 8. We'll start there. After giving Luke giving his account of the birth of Jesus, he now turns to the shepherds. And Bob has already alluded to why shepherds this morning. It's interesting to just note in verse 8, it says, "In the same region there were some shepherds," the same region as Bethlehem. "There were shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flock by night." Bob has already stated how these shepherds were outcasts, how they were unclean, ceremonially unclean, because they would normally, in their day's work, be dealing with sheep, and sheep die. And so they would be dealing with carcasses. And carcasses made a person unclean. And the only way you could become clean was to go to the temple and be cleansed. And they were not present at the temple. So guess what? They were just kind of out. They were just kind of outcasts. They weren't even allowed near towns or cities normally because of that, but also because of their big stinky flocks. It kind of is interesting because when you think about Israel, you think about shepherds, wouldn't you? Well, yes, you would, because Abraham, way back when, was a nomad shepherd. And he had flocks and flocks, and they would move from one place to another place, and another place to another, wherever there was grass to feed the many livestock that they possessed. But then they entered into Egypt during that time period, 400 years, and the Egyptians looked down on shepherds because they were farmers. And they sort of look at shepherds like cowboys and wild people, and they left them out. And so as a result, the Israelites picked up that mentality as well. And when they came back to the land that God had given them, they lived in houses, in cities, in towns, and shepherding had lost any kind of position. So these people were definitely lowlifes. They were not considered to be trustworthy, kind of like cowboys, potentially dangerous. Some of them were thieves. But here it was this night. Most likely, these shepherds were watching the high priest's herds. During this time of year, they were allowed to come in for 30 days because during that time, the priest would select the lambs and the sheep for sacrifice, even looking down the road towards Passover. So this was just a 30-day window that they were in this area. Isn't it amazing? Well, we're looking at people, and we're looking at the responses of people, the shepherds, Mary, Elizabeth. Nevertheless, this is about God, isn't it? And what we observe is His grace. And what we observe about our God, that He is no respecter of people, or their position, or their status. So when the Messiah comes, there is a great leveling. Not only does He come in such a humble, lowly way, God in flesh, but when He comes, and when He comes as Savior, we are all in one boat. We are all sinners in need of God's deliverance, aren't we? So there's Mary, a teenage girl from Nazareth. There's Elizabeth, an elderly, barren woman. And here are shepherds. Those humans first to receive the announcement of the Savior's birth. Truly, when Mary praised God upon her visit to Elizabeth, she says in Luke these words, "He has done mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed." Yes, shepherds, as Bob mentioned, were those guys, tough guys, man's men, men of the world. They were people of the earth. They knew how to defend their flocks. They knew how to protect their sheep from danger, from wild animals, from disease, and from robbers. And here they were. These are the people. The people on the outskirts. The people that weren't welcomed in the temple area. The people that weren't even welcome near the cities and the towns. They were the ones that were given good news. So, what they were told. Let's think about that for a minute. In verse 9 we read, "And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people.'" Wow. Here they are on a silent night. The stars are shining, the moon above, quiet. The sheep are bedded down for the night. They're probably getting ready to bed down for the night. And here comes a supernatural being. Can you imagine it? I can't imagine it. Like Mary, like Zacharias. This supernatural being. Obviously, this is a big time in God's history. He's sending His messengers to communicate the good news. What we see and what we hear about, as Luke reports it, is that glory of the Lord shone around them. In other words, God's majesty and His splendor was accompanying the presence of the angel. What an amazing scene. And what we hear, like we hear with Zacharias and with Mary, is don't be afraid. This isn't a time for fear. This is a time to believe. And in your belief, to surrender. To be joyful. To praise God. They say it's good news of great joy. And this is Luke's way of describing the gospel throughout Luke and throughout the book of Acts. This news is good news. Good news of great joy. And this good news is an occasion for joy for all. With a capital A-L-L. For all. For everyone. I think it's interesting that he therefore chooses the shepherds to make this announcement too. The greatest event in history had just occurred. The Messiah had been born. And for ages the Jews had waited for this, and when it finally had happened, the announcement came to who? Lowly shepherds. The last anyone would have expected to be invited to the birth scene, and the least deserving. And this is that wonderful aspect of the good news about Jesus, that it comes to all types of people, including the plain, the ordinary, and even the outcasts of society. Do you get the picture? As I was thinking through the sermon and even praying through it this morning, I just welled up with wonder. Dean prayed that God would work mightily through Pastor Kent. And it's absolutely incredible as I reflect on it that God can work mightily through any of us. But He does. And here He was. And He's going to work mightily through these shepherds as well. So, what's the good news? It's amazing the simplicity of it all. They said, "For today in the city of David," in verse 11, "there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, keep in mind, these are Jewish shepherds, so they have a background and they have a history, and they aren't totally ignorant of the promises of God. But the message is there in simple form. Where? In the city of David. This was David's birthplace, and this is where his early home was. And who was going to be born there? A Savior. A Savior. A Savior. Wow. Bob, where are you? You said that Savior wasn't a what? A soldier? Not a soldier. What was the other? Not a...
Reformer.
Not a reformer. Yeah, there could have been all kinds of ways that God chose to enter into this world, but He chose this way because of the true need, a Savior. And not just any Savior, the Christ. And that is the Greek word for the Anointed One, set apart for special purposes. It's Greek for Messiah. And He is the Lord, in other words, He is deity, and what's the point? The angel leaves no doubt of whose birth he is announcing. Here is He, the Messiah, the Christ, the Anointed One, the Lord. He is entering into our world, and He's announcing this to shepherds. Luke wrote his gospel primarily to a Gentile audience. As a matter of fact, Luke is the only Gentile writer in the New Testament. Why would this be so significant that the announcement was made to a bunch of outcasts? And that Luke emphasizes this good news is for all. Well, of course, it's his audience. Those who would read this gospel throughout the Roman Empire, and those who had been separated from the covenants of Israel were now being beckoned to come. to come. Do you hear it? What a perfect way to make that announcement. Through shepherds. Those who were looked down upon. Those who were not considered clean to be able to worship God in the traditional way that had been laid down by Moses. We. And here's the amazing details. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. When you stop and think about it, how convenient for shepherds, right? not a home where a bunch of snooping shepherds would be highly suspected, but in a manger where they might be seen. Literally in a feed trough in a Hebrew bar. That's where I would expect to see shepherds. And just like all other babies, wrapped in strips of cloth, but unlike all other babies, in a trough. So that kind of narrows the search, right? In the city of David, in a barn, in a trough. You're not going to find too many babies born in a barn, in an animal trough. But there's that one, so that limits their search. Oh, wait. One more thing before you go. In verse 13 and 14, "And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased.'" This isn't an afterthought. This is the result of the announcement that the angel gave. Now what happens? All heaven opens up. As if to show the significance of this event, heaven explodes. That's how I picture it, just exploding. With the angelic armies of heaven, that's what hosts means, blasting out praise like only those angelic beings who give continual praise to God can. It's an explosion. I like that artist's rendition. There they are. It's just like an explosion of praise. It's like that the veil between the unseen reality and our reality is opened up. And who gets to see it? Who gets to see it? Shepherds. That's right. They're the ones who get to see it. It's amazing. The wonder of the event, the power behind it. It's like John, when he is recording his vision in Revelation of Jesus Christ. I don't know if I put this up here or not. No, I didn't. It's this. In Revelation 5 we read, "When I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, and the numbers of them was myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing.'" I think that has been the song through the ages because there's no timing. There's no limitation of time with God. In other words, in God's eternal perspective, the sacrifice has been given, was given, is given. The times and the limits are ours, not His. But here they are, that scene is opened up for them, and the shepherds are privileged to view this scene firsthand. Not the mighty, not the wealthy, not the religious leaders, not the political leaders, not those wise in their own estimation, but shepherds. People like you and me, I think. Notice the emphasis of the praise as Luke records it. God is the focus. He is the one who set the events of the Messiah's birth in motion, the one who controls all events in heaven and on earth. He is sending peace to earth to all that He favors or graces. Peace, and only the peace that Messiah could bring. Not peace after war. You know what that's like, maybe? I don't know. We haven't experienced it lately. It seems like America's at war with somebody for the last decades, right? But this is peace between sinful humanity and the holy God. To those whom God favors, He reveals the truth. And that's what's so amazing about these shepherds and the revealing of this truth to them, is that God has chosen in His divine being to favor them with this truth and this reality. God will favor or grace whom He will grace. Now this is particularly significant because just 27 years earlier, Rome had declared Pax Romana, which means Roman peace. And that was declaring a time that war has stopped, giving the hope for the absence of war. They had conquered what they conquered, and it's time now to enjoy a peace. But you all know this, don't you? The absence of external war does not guarantee the presence of internal peace. Have y'all experienced that? The Roman law and Greek philosophy could not meet the needs of its citizens' hearts. And so God comes just at the right time. Because that's what they were experiencing. There was no peace in their hearts. The shepherd's response. We read in verse 15, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found the way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about the child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. And Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. What obedience. What a response. They went in a hurry, Luke says. And they talked amongst themselves, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem." Wow. And so what did they report? Well, we have to assume that what they reported to others was what the angel said. "Don't be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be far for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That's the message. That's the message. I think that that's the message that they told everyone. This is the message. It's a simple message. Sometimes we get so hung up with the need to explain every jot and tittle of the message that we neglect telling the simple message. The Savior has come. The one who is the Savior of mankind. Jesus has come. God in the flesh. The Messiah is here. Praise God. Praise God. I'll never forget the story that Josh McDowell tells where he went to some kind of evangelism conference in Australia. And they were hearing testimonies from all over the world. And there were people from all over the world. And there were about four or five people that stood up and said, "God first got my attention because I was walking in I can't remember where the location was, but it was common location. And there was this little old man that was walking by. And he would say to them, 'Toodaloo, God loves you. Toodaloo, God loves you.' That was his simple message. Yes, there was more explanation to it, but their witness and their testimony was, guess what? That's where God first got my attention. That little, simple message, and it stuck. And God used it later with more definition, with more clarity, but that's where they got their message. I was talking with Suki this week, And she said when she was a little girl, which was not her habit, she visited a church. I think it was just once that she went to that church, wasn't that right? And what stuck in her mind, coming from a Buddhist background, a Buddhist community, was a little song that was sung. And it was this that she heard in that Sunday school. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. That was the song that stuck with her. Yes, later on, that was going to be explained and expanded on, but that's where God first got her attention. I wonder how many people God used these shepherds to first get their attention by saying that simple message, don't be afraid, for behold, God has brought good news of great joy, which will be for all people. For in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ Jesus. Now Mary, in verse 19, ponders these things in her heart. I like that because Mary is a ponderer, evidently. This isn't the first time she's pondered things in her heart. She's a 15-year-old girl, probably around that age, and she's thinking. It's like she's recording in her internal diary all these things that are going on. And you know what? I think it's going to continue for another 30 years. Because she's going to live and watch this little child grow up. And he's going to live a day in and day out life just like you and I do. And Mary watched it. Watched him get up, probably do his carpentry work. Long before he entered into 3 years of ministry, he lived life like you and me. He got up, went to work, cared for his family, etc., etc., etc. Living that righteous life. So the shepherds, in verse 20, the shepherds go back, and there they are, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, just had been told them. Simple message. The Lord has come. The Savior of the world is here. Just think about all the stuff that we've been told, brothers and sisters. Think about all the stuff that we've been told. It's wonderful stuff. It's a lot more detail. But you know what? Our message is essentially the same, isn't it? The Lord has come. The Savior of the world. So in closing, when you think about these three heroes of the faith, Mary, Elizabeth, or those shepherds, behind each one is a measure of faith, belief. One thing that we need to be careful of is that heroes of the faith serve as a witness to God's faithfulness. Encourage our hearts to grow in our trust and then live out that trust in our daily lives. Mary, in her youthfulness, I think she exhibits a childlike faith. That's the only way I can talk about it for Mary. Elizabeth, when she conceives in her old age, she goes into seclusion for 5 months. I don't really know why. Maybe there's some kind of Jewish tradition that has that expectation. I'm not sure. But it was, I think, partly so overwhelming for her that this happened. Zacharias went into silence for 9 months because his faith was there. It was there. He believed God, but what he was told was so unbelievable, you know? And so God had to work in his life for those 9 months to solidify a response. And oh, what a response he gave at the end of 9 months. Thank you, Lord. So listen and learn, brothers and sisters. In your bulletin is a review of a book by Joy. Let My People Go. It's the story of Robert Jaffrey, wonderful CMA missionary who was head of the Asian mission area during prior to and during World War II. And he was an amazing example of faith. But you can be assured that this man grew in his faith. He did not just didn't all of a sudden show up on the scene with a faith of that he exhibited later in his life. I encourage you, brothers and sisters, whether it's the surrender of Mary or the joy of Elizabeth or the obedient praise of the shepherds, that this Advent season you listen and learn and allow the Holy Spirit to work in your lives in such a way that your faith would be increased, that your faith would grow as a result of the witness of these heroes. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you and we are grateful. We thank you for the message that you gave these shepherds. We thank you, Lord, that you included them in your work. And Lord, you've included us in your work as well, in your life, in eternity. And we are awe-inspired. We are amazed. Oh, we long, Lord, for that veil to be opened up fully so that the unseen reality could strike us in the same way. But Lord, today we are thankful for your presence in our lives. Oftentimes it's in the daily in and out stuff of life that we see you, Lord, just as our Savior experienced it in his 30 years of life on this earth prior to ministry. But Lord, we come before you, humbling ourselves before you. Use us today for your good purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.